You are now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show on Giant 90.9 from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports, hosted by Landon Nelson, Olin Pulley, and Trey Hanna. Good morning, race fans, and welcome to the All Gas No Brakes radio show. We're starting a little bit early today, ladies and gentlemen, at 7:41 a.m. We usually start at 8:30, but we flipped game and all gas, no breaks today, as one of our guests on game won't be here till 8:30. I'm Landon Nelson. Alongside me are my co-hosts, the great Olin Pulley. How you doing today, Owen?
I'm doing good today.
Garrett, how you doing, buddy?
What about the biggest Purdue fan I know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got you, bro. I got you. Here we go. The biggest Purdue fan I know, Garrett Burkle.
What an introduction. I love being called that. But yeah, I'm doing pretty good today.
Doing good. And last but not least, the biggest Jeff Gord fan I know, Maxwell Gilly. How you doing today, Max?
I am doing good. It is Daytona 500. Oh, yeah. NASCAR is back.
Time to get excited.
It is a great time to be. So we had the Daytona, 24 Hours of Daytona. That was the undercard. The main event is here. NASCAR is back. IndyCar will be here before we know it. It's exciting.
Also, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest. Don Wilson, a.k.a. my Uncle Don, will be discussing NASCAR news with myself and Maxwell Gilly. How are you doing today, Uncle Don?
Good morning, brother.
Can you do that? You're cutting in and out, Uncle Don. Can you talk more into your phone?
Okay.
There you go. Are you ready to talk about some NASCAR news?
Well, let's do it.
All right. So first off, we're going to talk about the TV schedule for NASCAR for this week and weekend. So Wednesday, February 15th, today, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Daytona 500 Media Day. From 8:15 p.m. Eastern Time, NASCAR Cup Series single car qualifying, one lap, two rounds on Fox Sports 1. And then Thursday, February 16th, 4:05 to 4:55 p.m. Eastern Time, ARCA Menard Series practice. It will not be on television. Then from 5:05 to 5:55 Eastern Time p.m., the NASCAR Truck Series practice will be on Fox Sports 1. And then at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, NASCAR Cup Series qualifying, duel number one, 60 laps will be on Fox Sports 1. And then at 8:45 p.m. Eastern Time, we'll have the second duel on Fox Sports 1, which will be a 60-lap race as well. And then Thursday, February 16th, from 4:05 to 4:55 p.m. Eastern Time, the ARCA Menard Series practice will be on, but will not be on television. And then from 5:05 to 5:55 p.m. Eastern Time, the NASCAR Truck Series practice will be going on Fox Sports 1. And then from on 7 p.m. Eastern Time, NASCAR Cup Series qualifying race number one. Did I already say that? I think I already said that, actually. No, I did not say that. No, I did say that. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. But I'll just go through it again. 7 p.m. Eastern Time, NASCAR Cup Series qualifying race number one, 60 laps on Fox Sports 1. 8:45 p.m. Eastern Time, NASCAR Cup Series qualifying race number two, 60 laps on Fox Sports 1. That is what's happening today and on Thursday. So if you want to catch the duels, I would recommend watching the duels. It'll be the first really live action we see from the NASCAR Cup Series drivers and how the cars handle and close racing at Daytona. And then Friday, February 17th at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, the ARCA Menard Series will have qualifying but will not be aired on TV. And then 3 p.m. Eastern Time, NASCAR Truck Series qualifying on Fox Sports 1. At 4:35 p.m. to 5:25 p.m. Eastern Time, NASCAR Xfinity Series practice will be aired on Fox Sports 1. 5:35 to 6:35 p.m. Eastern Time, NASCAR Cup Series practice on Fox Sports 1. And at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, the NASCAR Truck Series will be racing at Daytona 100 laps on Fox Sports 1. Then on Saturday, February 18th, from 10:30 a.m. to 11:20 a.m. Eastern Time, NASCAR Cup Series final practice on Fox Sports 1. 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, NASCAR Xfinity Series qualifying on Fox Sports 1. 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, ARCA Menard Series race will be an 80-lap event on Fox Sports 1, 5 p.m. Eastern time, NASCAR Xfinity Series race, 120 laps on Fox Sports 1. Then on Sunday, the Great American Race, the Super Bowl of NASCAR, at 2:30 p.m. Eastern time, the NASCAR Cup Series will be racing the Daytona 500, 200 laps on Fox Network. So, Max, are you ready to talk about the drivers who will have to race their way in to the Daytona 500?
Yes, I am. Again, by the way, quickly, all those times will be at Eastern time. But when we look at the open drivers for the Daytona 500, we are going to be having, for Colic Racing, Chandler Smith driving the number 13, Zane Smith in the number 36 front row motorsports machine, Connor Daly, the IndyCar driver, in the number 50, the money team, that is the Floyd Mayweather team that last year with Kaz Grala ended up losing a tire, which was embarrassing. So hopefully they can do better this year. Under Connor Daly, we have Austin Hill in the number 62 Beard Motorsports Machine. Travis Pastrana, the legend, behind the wheel of the number 67 2311 Racing. And then you know him oh so well. Jimmy Johnson is back behind the wheel of the number 84 Legacy Motor Club Machine there.
Seven-time champion as well.
Exactly. There are six open drivers. Only four will be able to make it into the Daytona 500. If I was to make predictions, I would say that because Colic Racing always has a lot of talent, I would expect Chandler Smith to make it in. I think Connor Daly is a heck of a driver. I think he'll make it in with the money team. I expect Travis Pastrana with a really good 2311 equipment to make it in. And then Jimmy Johnson, he's a lock in. There's no way, unless the car just malfunctions, there's no way Jimmy Johnson does not make the Daytona 500.
Yeah, that's a no doubt for me. First on my list is seven-time champion Jimmy Johnson, no doubt. Driving the number 84 Legacy Motorsports Club Chevrolet. Two-time Daytona 500 champion, seven-time NASCAR champion. I mean, what has he not done? So he should be a no-doubter to make the 500. And then I'm going to go Chandler Smith in the 13 Colic Racing Chevrolet. Then I'll go Zane Smith, the number 36 front row motorsports Ford. And then I'm going to go Travis Pastrana in the number 67 2311 Racing Toyota. Pastrana has great equipment driving for 2311, and Jimmy Johnson should have great equipment driving the number 84. And then Colic has seemed to be very competitive on these restrictor plate races. They looked really competitive in the last race of the season at Daytona. They were leading with Justin Haley until it just started raining in turns one and two, and like half the field crashed, and then Austin Dillon avoided the whole wreck, and he made it through to win the race. And then Zane Smith, front row motorsports, Max, has looked really competitive, especially last year, and they looked they're really competitive on restrictor plates. You have Michael McDowell, who's the Daytona 500 champion, who's always a threat in these races. Then you have Todd Gillen, which I'm a big fan of Todd Gillen, a great young driver. He got dropped by Kyle Busch Motorsports, but I feel like, you know, he's proved the doubters and haters wrong in winning with front row in the truck series. He was really consistent, top five finishes, top tens. He looked, for what he did in his rookie year, he did okay. But, I mean, he looked really good on the Indy Road course. His best finish of the year was like third place. So he has a lot to prove still, Todd Gillen, but, I mean, he's driving some one of the most underrated cars in the field, one of the most underrated teams in the field with front row, and they're usually really competitive. Uncle Don, who do you think will make the 500?
I'd go with the same guy, Pastrana, Connor Daly, Johnson, and Smith.
You go Smith? So, yeah, appreciate that, Uncle Don. Max, you want to give your five picks to win the Daytona 500?
So I did this a little differently. So I know some people were like, I'm going to just give you, here are five guys who are for sure locks. I did two locks. I did two dark horses, and then I did what's called a chaos pick. And honestly, that's the one that's probably going to end up winning because you never know with the Daytona.
Yeah, agreed.
So Denny Hamlin is my biggest pick to win. He is so talented at Daytona. When you know how to win the Daytona 500, that will do well for you. He's going to be the guy now at Joe Gibbs Racing. I'd expect to see him in victory lane. And then Ryan Blaney. He somehow has not won the Daytona 500.
So he's close, one of so those, many times.
Exactly. He's been so close so many times. He's one of those guys who I really think is going to have a breakout year this year. Because last year was a disappointment for Ryan Blaney. And he is one of the most talented Penske drivers out there. I expect him to make it. And then I have some dark horses. And we'll start out with Bubba Wallace. Now, I know we talked off the air. Bubba Wallace can sometimes make... He has a bit of a temper, and that may be the only reason why he doesn't win. But he's got second place at the Daytona 500. He knows how to win on super speedways.
Twice, I believe.
He has. So I am expecting Bubba Wallace to do well. If he doesn't crash out early on, if he doesn't get just taken out with the big one like he did last year, he will be doing well. And then Kyle Busch, here's why. He is in RCR. He's never won the Daytona 500.
Always competitive, though.
RCR, he's always competitive. RCR is always competitive, yeah, too. You bring those two together, he's going to be doing well with that. And then here is what I called my chaos pick. I'm choosing this one just simply because we saw a rookie win last year. What if a rookie wins this year? Watch out for Ty Gibbs. Here's why. Because Ty Gibbs, he is so talented. He was great in the ARCA series. He won so many times in the Xfinity series. He's going to be now with Joe Gibbs Racing with some good equipment there, but he doesn't care. He will do whatever it takes to win. I don't expect him to not bump and run someone if he's close to winning. He will do whatever it takes, and that is why I would expect him to win. If he's in third place in lap 199, I'd expect him to do a bump and run to win the 500.
I love those picks, Max. Here are my five picks to win the Daytona 500. Number one, Denny Hamlin. I mean, what else I got to say about the guy? He's a fantastic driver, especially in these restrictor plate races. He's won three Daytona 500s. Two of them were in a row. He's led 648 laps in the race, 11 top fives, 12 top tens, and an average finish of 16.8. Number two, Joey Logano, 2015 Daytona 500 champion, aggressive at super speedways, leads plenty of laps, has an average finish of 14.6, and has three top five finishes and three top tens. He's very competitive on these restrictor plate races. Look for him to be a threat and leading early and be a great pusher. It seems like the Fords are especially really good at these restrictor plates. They can push extremely well. Number three, Chase Elliott. He always seems to qualify extremely well at the Daytona 500. Three races, he has started the race in the top five and never started outside the top 30. And Hendrick Motorsports, ladies and gentlemen, always seems to bring rocket ships to these super speedway races. I don't know how many years it's been them qualifying on pole. I think they went for a period of like three times in a row or so, or four times in a row, that they've qualified 1-2 for the Daytona 500. He has not won the Daytona 500 yet. It could be the year he finally wins. He's a champion, won in 2020. He has an average finish of 18.5, best finish being second. It was that crazy last lap crash with Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano, which went up in flames, and Michael McDowell navigates through the chaos to win. I mean, Chase Elliott was right there. If they would have raced back to the line, I feel like Chase Elliott would have won the Daytona 500. Number four, we have Ryan Blaney. Me and Max have similar picks here. Has won seven NASCAR Cup Series races, which is crazy about this. Three of those wins came on super speedways. Two wins at Talladega Super Speedway and one at Daytona International Speedway in the July race. Ryan Blaney has an average finish of 16.7 with a best finish of second place. Always seems to be a threat at Daytona and super speedways. Number five, I might be a little biased because this driver is my favorite driver in the NASCAR Cup Series field. After Tony Stewart retired, he came over to race for Stewart Haas Racing, and he won the championship in his first year. No introduction needed. Kevin Harvick, I mean, fantastic driver. 60 Cup Series wins, 2014 NASCAR Cup Series champion, and the 2007 Daytona 500 champion. It's Kevin Harvick's final year in the NASCAR Cup Series. He has nothing to lose. He's gonna go out there, and he's gonna do a great job. He's gonna fight, man. He's gonna fight for this win. I mean, you gotta go out on a bang. It's kind of like, I have a feeling, I have this gut feeling inside of me, Max and Uncle Don, that you know how Peyton Manning won his final Super Bowl in his final year? That's what's going to happen to Kevin Harvick. He's going to go out with a bang and win his final Daytona 500. He's extremely consistent at these restrictor plate races, always seems to finish these races. Kevin Harvick has an average finish of 16th place in the Daytona 500 with 7 top 5 finishes and 2 top 10s. Well, those are my 5 NASCAR Cup Series driver picks to win the Daytona 500. Moving on to Uncle Don, who you got?
Well, all these guys are good picks, but in the Daytona 500, as well as anybody wins. But so I went to close to the odds makers, the best odds they had. Well, they got 3 guys. My 5 picks are not in this order, but Kevin Harvick, Elliott, Logano, Blaney. And is my, I guess, my long shot. I think Christopher Bell's got a good crew chief. And that's how I rated. He's got turns so close that I think that it's going to boil down to the best pickers and the best crew chiefs and the combinations of such.
Yeah, I agree, Uncle Don. You bring up a great point there that me and Max really never touched on during our picks is the pit crew aspect of, you know, the Daytona 500. It's an endurance race. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. 200 laps, 500 miles. I mean, you want to be there the whole race. Great pit stops. I mean, it's usually always like that. I mean, you can look at the Indianapolis 500. It's an endurance race. Talladega, I mean, you can basically, you know, in racing in general, it's normally a marathon. It's not a sprint. Which that brings up a great point. But Christopher Bell, Max, you have any thoughts on Uncle Don's pick with picking Christopher Bell?
I think Christopher Bell is a really good pick. He showed towards the end of the year that he is the real deal. And the biggest question I've been having is who is going to step up with the Toyota program now that Kyle Busch is gone? I'd expect Toyota to be much more competitive this season. I think each and every single one of their drivers, truly all of them, are some of the best. I mean, we didn't even talk about Tyler Reddick.
No.
He's a heck of a driver as well. Martin Truex coming off of the Clash win. So
he's hungry. He is extremely hungry. With Adam Stevens, he's a 2-time NASCAR Cup Series crew chief as a champ. So he's a NASCAR Cup Series champion as a crew chief, being with Kyle Busch. But, I mean, he helped Christopher Bell win his first race in his rookie year. He steps that up by helping him win 3 races the following year, not his rookie year, but his first season driving for Joe Gibbs Racing, and then his second year at Joe Gibbs Racing, he wins 3 races and makes the championship 4. So, I mean, Christopher Bell, I feel like he can really be something special this year. He proved it in the later end of the year last year. So we'll see. I mean, he has a great crew chief. What's really going to determine this race, I feel like, is the pit stops as well, because these single lug nut cars are they're if you don't put that air gun on the those rounds of on the tires, then you know you're going to get your lug gun lug gun stuck there, and it's gonna be chaos, which will cost you a Daytona 500. So Uncle Don, bring up a great point. Thank you for your picks. We're gonna move on to sponsorship. We have some interesting news about sponsorship. We'll get to the main interesting news about sponsorship after I list this first one. Andy's Frozen Custard continues with Austin Dillon and Anthony Alfredo. Austin Dillon will be running the Andy's Frozen Custard scheme March 19th at Atlanta Motor Speedway in the Ambetter Health 400. I want to thank jski.com for this source for the Silly Season site for NASCAR news. We also have that the A-Team in 2023, Anthony Alfredo in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. He'll be running the scheme at Charlotte Motor Speedway on May 27th and at Texas Motor Speedway on September 23rd. Both races will be nationally televised. So that's some good news for Austin Dillon and Anthony Alfredo. Max, you have any thoughts?
I always like seeing some of these teams be able to get good sponsorship like that.
I love this paint scheme.
It is a really good
paint scheme.
It's
a really cool
paint
scheme. If you go on the internet, ladies and gentlemen, go to J-Ski's Silly Season site, you could really see this really neat image of Austin Dillon's Andy's Frozen Custard. I mean, it's really cool. I love the neon yellow, blue, and red. It's really nice. Max, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but what else were you going to say?
I know. It's just good to see some of those brands continue to support NASCAR. It's no longer to the – it's not like back in the day when we had – the huge sponsorships like Lowe's and Target, but as you're listening to WBDG FM HD 1 Indianapolis, it's great to see some more of these companies coming back, and NASCAR is getting back up there, is getting better. We're starting to see bigger brands, so I'm excited to see what this scheme can be, and I know the next one
threw everyone for a loop. Like you said, big sponsorships coming to NASCAR. Ladies and gentlemen, this was shocking news. It was released yesterday. The band Guns N' Roses will be sponsoring Legacy Motorsports. We'll be sponsoring the legendary number 43 car of Eric Jones, previously driven by, you know, seven-time champion, 200 race winner Richard Petty. We'll be sponsoring Legacy Motorsports. I was so surprised when this came out, and I am so pumped because – you know, when was the last time we saw a band sponsor a NASCAR team? And the scheme looks incredible. Max, you have any thoughts?
We've seen some in the Xfinity Series, but never in the Cup Series. I'm really excited to see that sort of future, to see some of these artists getting to sponsor it. We've seen NASCAR getting back in the mainstream with some music videos sometimes a couple years ago. So I'm really excited to see them in the sport. They are clearly a popular band with the fan base. And I like seeing this future of bands sponsoring it.
Oh, yeah.
It looks so good,
it's
too.
It's awesome. It's really given that NASCAR feel back. You know, when I think of NASCAR and music, I feel rock and roll. I mean, you're racing, you know, with your hair on fire, you know, You're just racing aggressively for almost 3 hours around a track in circles and circles and on road courses, turning left and right against other competitors. I mean, you know, you're just driving like your Taylor Harris on fire, and that's what I think rock and roll brings, you know, a lot to NASCAR, that energy, that sort of, you know, rock and roll theme. So it's just amazing to see that bands are, you know, starting to get back into NASCAR, especially Guns N' Roses. I feel that is really sick. Max, you know what is crazy? This Guns N' Roses scheme and Uncle Don, they will be running the scheme at the Daytona 500. So they're going to be Legacy Motorsports, and Eric Jones will be running the Guns N' Roses 43 car at the Daytona 500. Uncle Don, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, if you go back to about the late 60s, you got Marty Robbins, Patrick Singer, and he sponsored a car, plus he raced it. And he put out a couple of racing songs. So it's probably the first band I remember sponsoring a car.
Appreciate that, Uncle Don. Okay, Max, Uncle Don, if you had to, you know, out of all the rock bands and singers, who will be the next to sponsor a NASCAR Cup Series team, Xfinity truck, any team in general, if you had to think, or you would want to sponsor a NASCAR car?
I think somebody like Blake Shelton.
Oh, yeah, Blake Shelton. Him and Clint Boyer have a good relationship. They really, they're good buddies, and he loves NASCAR. Max, you got any?
So Blake Shelton was a really good pick. He does, it would be an NBC race for sure. Jason Aldean, I think, has a good chance as well. It'd be a Country Star, or Pitbull would sponsor them again.
Oh, yeah, Pitbull, yeah.
I don't expect to see any more rock bands or hair bands sponsor them, but I would expect to see a Country Star or Pitbull be the next star in music to sponsor a team.
Okay, here's mine. I want AC/DC, because AC/DC, Kid Rock already sponsors a team. He sponsors Trackhouse with his restaurant.
Honky Tonk.
Yeah, he with his restaurant. He also, I believe Kevin Harvick or Tony Stewart. I think it was either Kevin Harvick or Tony Stewart. I believe it was Kevin Harvick, 29, Richard Childress Racing. Or it could have been an Xfinity car. My dad has the diecast at home, but you might have to fact check me on this. But It's the 29 car. I know that for sure. Sponsored a NASCAR team. It was either Kevin Harvick, Tony Stewart. Like I said, the scheme was awesome. It had Kid Rock on it. It was like blue and orange and red. It was pretty sick. It was during the 2000s. That'd be really neat to see. That was really cool to see. But I'd love to see AC/DC. That would be extremely awesome to see AC/DC in NASCAR. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I mean it could be in the future. I'd love to see AC/DC or Motley Crue or Def Leppard. I mean Def Leppard. I mean those three bands are very main. You know, they really advertise their brands really well. I mean, if you walk around, Walmart or Sam's Club or just, stores in general, I mean, you'll find AC/DC, a lot of AC/DC, Def Leppard, Motley Crue stuff. So that'd be really, really neat to see. We have some SRX news coming up after I mention the Grand Marshals of the Daytona 500. The King, Richard Petty. We have Bobby Allison, Awesome Bill from Dawsonville, Bill Elliott. Jeff Gordon, 5-time champion. Dale Jarrett, Brickyard 400 winner, Daytona 500 champion, NASCAR champion as well. Kevin Harvick will be a Grand Marshal. You also have Jimmy Johnson, 7-time champion. You also have Kurt Busch, is a 2004 champion, recently retired. It's great to see him back in the mix doing stuff for NASCAR. He's still staying at 2311, ladies and gentlemen, helping mentor Tyler Reddick, Bubba Wallace, and Travis Pastrana, give them advice for these restrictor plate races. And then you also have Joey Logano, 2-time NASCAR champion and a 2015 Daytona 500 winner. Max, Uncle Don, what are your thoughts? Max, you can start.
I'm really excited to see these guys competing on the SRX Series.
Oh, this is the Grand Marshals,
buddy. Oh, the Grand Marshal. I apologize. You're I wasn't good, buddy. Listening, but I'm excited for the SRX Series, too. And the Grand Marshals, that's cool as well. Yeah, it's interesting to see.
Uncle Don, what are your thoughts on the Grand Marshals?
I think they have too many.
They have too many.
I agree.
That's 9 Grand Marshals for the Daytona 500. That's a lot. That's a lot. So the last bit of news from Max and myself is the SRX Series. We have the full driver lineup for the Superstar Racing Experience. There was a lot of, I mean, after Max and Owen and Garrett and I got done with our episode of All Gas or Brakes, I just see a ton of drivers being, named off for the SRX Series. So, Brad Keselowski will be racing at Stafford Speedway, Haley Deegan, Bobby Labonte, Ryan Newman. Those are guys that they're actually racing full-time in the Superstar Racing Experience. And then you have Clint Bowyer, Kevin Harvick, and Denny Hamlin, who do like a one-off race at Stafford Speedway. And then you go to Thunder Road, you have Keselowski, Deegan, Labonte, and Newman. I'm not mentioning these are just recent, drivers who have, came in to SRX. I mean, obviously Tony Stewart and Elio and Marco all be a part of the SRX Series. Just the main guys will be a part of it, like I'm naming now. Then you'll go to the Motor Mile, Brad Keselowski, Haley Deegan, Bobby Labonte, Ryan Newman, and then you have Elio Castroneves, Kyle Busch, and Clint Bowyer will be racing at Motor Mile. So I guess Castroneves is doing like a part-time schedule for the Superstar Racing Experience. Then you have at Berlin Speedway, you'll have Brad Keselowski, Haley Deegan, Bobby Labonte, Ryan Newman, Elio Castroneves, Kyle Busch, and Kevin Harvick. So Harvick will be racing another SRX race. And then Eldora, you have Keselowski, Deegan, Labonte, and Newman. And then at Lucas Oil Raceway, Keselowski, Haley Deegan, Bobby Labonte, Ryan Newman, Elio Castroneves, and Clint Bowyer. Max, what are your thoughts on the recent driver lineup for the Superstar Racing Experience?
It gets better and better each year. I still wish they'd be back in Indiana. Eldora's fine. That's a couple hours
Lucas
away.
Lucas Oil's cool, though. I mean, it's not dirt, but I mean.
Yeah. But I'm excited to see what this season's going to look like. It's going to be on ESPN. I like seeing that we have so many new drivers competing. I like seeing all the one-offs. And it's just going to be really fun to see them. And I can't wait to see who's next, because if that is just what we're going to be announcing now, who knows who's going to be next?
Oh, yeah. Agreed, Max. you never know, more drivers to start racing, the Superstar Racing Experience is starting to get extremely popular, and it is, it's becoming a kind of like a threat to NASCAR with TV ratings. A lot of viewers of NASCAR switching over to the Superstar Racing Experience and not watching NASCAR as much. Uncle Don, what are your thoughts on the recent driver lines for the Superstar Racing Experience?
Well, I think you might be able to throw in a couple more Cup drivers for that race at Eldora, because check the dates. I think it's the same weekend that they run at Michigan. So a couple of those other drivers may make the trip down to Eldora.
Which
all spring car guys.
Yeah, like you said, they're
right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. Like you said, we talked earlier that they're going to be having a $1 million race for sprint car guys at Eldora. Uncle Don and Uncle Jeff and I went to Eldora Speedway and witnessed probably the closest finish in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. That was what it was called at the time. That was the Craftsman Truck Series, I believe, in the history at Eldora, which had Chase Briscoe winning the race barely by Grant Enfinger. It was such a great time, a great environment, and we might be going back to see the Superstar Racing Experience. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up for the NASCAR news and Superstar Racing Experience news from Maxwell Gailey, Big Nelly, and my Uncle Don, a.k.a. Don Wilson. We're going to take a 30-second break here on Indy Giant 90.9. Then upcoming, we'll talk about IndyCar news with the man, the myth, the legend, Garrett Burkle. And then wrapping up the show, we'll have Owen Pulley talking about Formula One news. This is Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety. You are listening to All Gas, No Brakes.
I've been driving trucks for a long time. Safety is my number one priority. I know that my truck has huge blind spots. That's why I remember to check my mirrors often for smaller vehicles. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're behind the wheel, try to avoid lingering in those blind spots. It can be dangerous. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the All Gas, No Brakes radio show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson. Alongside me is Owen. Owen, introduce yourself again.
What up? It's good to be back.
It's good to be back, Garrett. Garrett, you want to say something to all the listeners?
So
we were just talking with Maxwell Gailey. Max, say hi.
Hi.
Sorry, level's a little high. And my Uncle Don is on the show, ladies and gentlemen, a.k.a. Don Wilson. You say hi to all the listeners out there?
Yes. And I want to tell you guys, you're great show.
He's great.
I'll replay your show like later in the day, so a lot of people are on the way to work.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get it
posted on Audio Boom as soon as the show is over. Well, Garrett, would you like to take it away with your IndyCar news?
Let's do it. All right, so the first main story is that Catherine Legg, she is a former IndyCar driver. She's actually competing at or going to attempt to qualify for the 2023 Indianapolis 500 with Rahal Letterman-Lanigan Racing. She'll be joined teammates Graham Rahal, Jack Harvey, and Christian Lundgaard in an attempt to make her third Indianapolis 500. Her last two races in 2012 and 2013, two of the best Indy 500s competitively we've ever had there. But she has a best finish of Indianapolis of 22nd and a best start of 30th there. So it'll be interesting to see how well she adapts to the IndyCar. She is a full-time IMSA driver now. But back in an IndyCar, it's good to see her back in Indianapolis. So that should be really cool to see Catherine Legg back. My next story is that Chip Ganassi Racing's new hiree, Nick Cassidy, the Kiwi, is set to make his IndyCar testing debut March 3rd through 5th at St. Petersburg. He is the 28-year-old. He's formerly of Formula E as well as Japanese Formula 3. Racing, so it is good to see Chip Ganassi get another top prospect, and again, someone that will fit their team very well. So he is expected to make his IndyCar testing debut coming up in a couple weeks here. My third story is that Peretta Autosport is searching for a new IndyCar partner for the team in 2023. they're again, they were with Team Penske in 2021 for the Indianapolis 500, and last year, I believe they were with Ed Carpenter Racing. So again, they just use their data, and it's interesting to see that it comes this late in the season, because I don't know how fast they can make that work to find a Chevy team that will be able to be on board with them this late in the off season. So it will be interesting. They're trying to get Carpenter to do it again, but apparently Carpenter hasn't signed on yet, and I don't know how interested they are. So that would be a very interesting story to follow along with, to see if they're able to run some races this year with Simona DiSilvestro. My other one is that IndyCar expands an international TV reach for 2023. They're going into 223 markets and 142 countries in 2023. It is really good to see IndyCar, you know, make this international, the international TV expand, because again, from there you can get more races in different countries, and that's what they really need. So it is good to see IndyCar gets a wider audience this year. So they made a multi-year deal with Canadian broadcaster TSN Headlines, and again, that will bring them into a lot more countries and a lot more markets, which the IndyCar series desperately needs. My fourth or fifth story. Is that Grosjean and Kirkwood are fastest at IndyCar testing at Sebring. Interesting enough, I'll go over some drivers. So in first place, it was Romain Grosjean. Second place, Kyle Kirkwood. Third place, Callum Ilott, interesting enough. Fourth place, Marcus Armstrong, who has shown really good speed so far. Fifth, Devlin DeFrancesco. So it looks like the Andretti's are back up there. And then you have Connor Daly, Colton Herter, Rinus VK, and the second driver in the Hoon Coast car, Agustin Capanano, something around that line. I'm going to have to hear one of the broadcasters mention his name before I get it right. But again, that was the Sebring results for testing. And then on the other side of it, the other Sebring test, Arrow McLaren went 1-2-3 in that test, which is a really good sign for them. As they went, as Pato O'Ward topped the charts, second place Alexander Rossi, third place Felix Rosenquist, fourth Felipe Nasr, who was in the number two Team Penske car, because again, Newgarden was busy during that test, so again, they put Felipe Nasr in the car. Then Santino Ferrucci and Nick Cassidy in the 10 car for Alex Palou, and Benjamin Pearson in the number 55 AJ Foyt car. Interesting enough, again, some of the drivers that were doing the 24 hours in Daytona race were not there. And again, I would kind of take this one with more of a grain of salt, because again, there's not those top guys in this session. Like if Newgarden and Palou were in there, I would understand, you know, that would be really impressive for a McLaren, but the guys they beat just aren't that aren't that great. So I think that's something to look out for with Arrow McLaren this year. And I'm kind of worried for them come season start, and hopefully they're able to get it together, which I mean I'm sure come, you know, St. Petersburg they'll be all right, but definitely worrisome first few tests.
It is extremely worrisome. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Garrett, but I mean I think we all predicted that, you know, Arrow McLaren, you know, SP is going to be looking extremely competitive. I mean, you bring Alexander Rossi. You have Pato O'Ward, I believe, who finished second or third in the championship.
It was third or fourth in the championship. Yeah.
Newgarden was second. And then, you know, Felix Rosenquist, who's pretty consistent. They're very fast, and you know I'm expecting that, you know, hopefully they get it turned around. You're bringing in Alexander Rossi, but you don't want to hope it's the same situation that he had at Andretti, where it's extremely inconsistent with speed.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Because he just signed a big deal, so hopefully Arrow McLaren SP gets it all turned around. Because I'm a big Arrow McLaren SP. I love Pato O'Ward, and bringing in Alexander Rossi is huge for them.
Yep, very true, very true.
Is that all the IndyCar news you have, buddy?
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Now turning it over to the great Owen Pulley with some Formula One news. Take it away, Owen.
Yeah, some new liveries dropped for the Formula One season. Mercedes actually just released theirs today, Ferrari yesterday. And I'm noticing a trend. A lot of teams are going with the unpainted carbon fiber look and going with the lighter model of the car. So I think we're going to see good aerodynamics this year and a lot of speed, some straight line speed and everything like that. And Mercedes actually, with going back to the black car. They went with the silver one last year. That was back kind of a homage to the 2019 look. So Mercedes going back to the black look. A lot of fans wanted to see the black car back, and you know, the championship winning car. Yeah. That's what they wanted to see, and Mercedes brought that back. And I think it's cool because it's one of the better liveries on the grid, and it's one of the lightest ones. Just being a black car with not a lot of paint on it, a lot of that carbon fiber, like I mentioned, and everything like that. But Ferrari, Landon, I do want to get your take on this. That it's a red car, and they have the back wing is carbon fiber. And Ferrari, they have like this rectangle on the side of the car.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is just carbon fiber, which is just a little odd that it's just kind of out there. For that, I wonder if they're using that for light, but for load management and weight distribution. But what's your take on that, Landon?
With like the whole box thing and everything.
That box of just carbon fiber on the side.
If I look at it, honestly, buddy. I'm not a big fan. I'm of this little box of carbon fiber. It doesn't really. I mean, to me, it looks kind of, you know, looks that little box right there.
Yeah, like that's the one I'm talking about.
The SVA Logistics.
SIVA.
Yeah, SIVA Logistics. Yeah. I mean, it don't look. I mean, it looks kind of odd. I'm not gonna lie, because it looks like, you know, the carbon fiber is just like sticking out. If you look at the rest of the car, there is some like carbon fiber kind of style, like it looks like, you know,
but
like,
it almost looks infused into the car.
It does look like that, and it looks kind of like a checkered paint scheme a little bit with the carbon fiber. I mean, we'll have to see what it really looks like on track, but I mean, I could see a little bit of like even in the red a little bit, you can see the little kind of like the woven fabric, like the little checker kind of feel. But it looks all right. I mean, it looked pretty cool. It looks a lot better than last year's paint scheme. I'm not a fan of the dark red. I'm more a fan of the light red Formula One paint scheme, which I feel like they did a lot better job. When I think of Ferrari, I think of like lighter red color, not darker red. But I am a big fan of the Mercedes new scheme. I'm a huge fan of it. I love the black. It looks really nice. And you know what's the numbers? The numbers are painted in different colors. Instead of being white, they're green. Like for George Russell, they're green. For Lewis Hamilton, they're going to be yellow, which I think that's really neat. If you look here, that's really neat. I really like the numbers.
Yeah, so green for George
and yellow for Lewis. And
Lewis is going with yellow. Yellow. Or he actually – Or was he had
– He had purple, right? I think purple was one of those. He was
purple for 20 – I remember in 2021, he had the black – the TV pod was black.
Yeah.
And Bottas was the yellow.
Yeah.
So interesting going with yellow for Hamilton. He was purple for a little bit, yeah.
But I am a big fan of this scheme. It is sharp. 2020 days, they were extremely successful. It looks similar to the 2020 scheme when they absolutely were the class of the
field.
Oh, the W11. It's definitely in the top five greatest Formula One cars ever made. Top three. It's in the top three. But you also got to look at the McLarens in the 90s with Senna and Prost. That car was unbeatable. And you also have to look at, you know, Michael Schumacher's Ferrari. The V10 was absolutely was one of the best of the field. So, Owen, what else you have in Formula One?
Aston Martin dropped a new livery. It looks pretty similar to last year.
It's nicer. I like it a lot better. The green's lighter.
Yeah, the green's lighter. So different. A lot of teams, like, I know we weren't going to get new. Like, compared to last year, the new liveries, you know, a lot of people said, like, when they got the new chassis and the new type of car for 2022, there was a lot of different, more drastic changes for the liveries. But I think this year it's kind of just, like, redefining it and getting more stuff. And I do want to talk about my least favorite one on the grid so far.
Mine has to be the AlphaTauri one.
It's not very good. I think that Orlin... I don't like the red. Yeah, the red.
It looks kind of weird.
It looks fine until you get to the halo. The halo looks bad. The red halo looks bad. The back wing, I'm not a big fan of. I do like.
I think
towards the front of the car, like underneath the side pods, that looks nice. I do like that, but I think the red is just They're trying too hard to put red on there. I did see a meme, though. It was pretty funny. They were talking about how Orland spelled alpha wrong. So there's Alfa Romeo with an F and then Alfa Tauri with PH. They that Orland was trying to send like an email, like trying to renew their contract, and he typed in the wrong alpha. And then they got to Alfa Tauri instead of Alfa Romeo.
Wow.
I thought it was funny. Well, it didn't actually happen. Yeah, I know, did it didn't actually happen. But that was a meme that they were trying to put around there. I thought it was funny.
I think, you know, I'm going to go top three schemes that have been revealed so far. Number one, I really like Alfa Romeo's paint scheme. I'm a huge fan. It is sharp. The stake. I love the color red. I wish there's a little more white, but, I mean, that's okay. There's white on the sponsorship, but you have, you know, the red and black and red and the stake sponsorship. Then I have to go Mercedes, number two. The Mercedes car is absolutely sharp. Reminds me of the 2020 days with the W11. And then you also have the Ferrari scheme. Those have been my top three. Owen, what liveries have yet to be revealed?
That would be Alpine. And that's it. McLaren, actually, we're going to talk about McLaren. I forgot to talk about them. They had a new livery. It looks pretty similar to last year. The MCL 60, celebrating 60 years of McLaren in the world of Formula One and being around there, which is pretty cool that they're one of the most historic teams out there and one of the most historic, like I said, historic teams, just everything around that. But they released the livery. I'm trying to find the pictures for it here. And it looks pretty similar to last year. So the big thing is that it looks a lot different than the release that McLaren had last year at the beginning of the season. But because of how many sponsorships that McLaren added to the end, by the end of the season, like they added OKX, Chrome, Android.
There's a lot.
Yeah. It looks a lot similar to the beginning of the end of last year.
It's black, I believe. Like it's just yellow and orange and black.
The papaya.
Me. Yeah, papaya. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the papaya. Light blue and black. And yeah, it looks pretty cool. There's that landing.
Yeah, it looks like their IndyCar, which, I mean, that should be the case. I mean, it's Aero McLaren SP and McLaren Formula One. They're both under McLaren, so it should look similar. But, I mean, it's really nice. I hope all the best for Oscar Piastri. It's going to be his rookie year, and I hope he does extremely well driving for McLaren. I'm expecting big things out of him. And then you also have Lando Norris. So I'm expecting big things out of McLaren. Owen, you got any more news on Formula One?
I think that's about it for my Formula One news. Alpine still yet to release their livery. I believe that is tomorrow on the 16th. Drive to Survive coming up. And
oh, yeah.
Bahrain.
I'm so excited. Oh, yeah.
Season less than a month away.
Oh, are you guys not excited about Red Bull having the exact same scheme?
It's all right. I liked their scheme last year. By the way, we do have some news. If you were planning to go to the IMS Museum, they are closed today due to maintenance.
All of my plans.
I don't know.
I was planning on not coming to school today. If there's anybody
that wanted to go there after school today and go, they are closed due to maintenance.
All days of the year, I specifically was like, you know what? I have February 15th marked on the calendar.
You know what, Max?
That's the one time I'm going to go.
You know what, Max? You know what?
Took it away from me.
I haven't been in so long. I want to go again. Williams has a pretty good livery.
I like Williams. That. Williams is like an old school feel with Logan Sargeant, first American back in Formula One in years. It's going to be great for him to see what he can do in Formula One, hoping big things. And Alex Albon should be great to see there, them two racing for Williams. Well, I think it's going to wrap it up, ladies and gentlemen, for all you got any more?
Yeah, real quick. And we're just getting into we'll give you updates. So I know a lot of drivers are creating their helmets now and bringing it out there. So we'll have those more when they come in. So I was just letting you know there.
Appreciate that. I appreciate your Formula One news. Appreciate Garrett's great IndyCar insight and Max's great feedback we have for NASCAR. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up for the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. For Garrett Burkle, a.k.a. the biggest Purdue fan I know. For Owen Pulley, the great Owen Pulley, for the biggest Jeff Gordon fan I know, Maxwell Gilley, you can listen to All Gas, No Brakes every Wednesday from 8:30 to 9:15. Also, Uncle Don, thank you for being on the show, a.k.a. Don Wilson. I appreciate your NASCAR feedback and your NASCAR news and just, you know, sharing out there to the listeners. Any last words?
Yes. I'm
I'm honored to be a guest on the show with the guys that have the knowledge you guys have there.
Appreciate that, Uncle Don. I appreciate that. It was a blast and a pleasure to have you on the show today. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up for today's show. We'll see you guys in the next episode of All Gas and No Brakes. We'll see you later, Indianapolis. Big Nelly out!